the most coherent evergreens I've ever heard. That's really good. I kind of understood what they were saying.
Good. Who's the one who laughed?
It was Alex in San Antonio.
Alex and that's Alex.
Alex and Rebecca in San Antonio. I didn't know. I thought we were muted.
Right. That's and you were laughing at me.
Yeah, because you said I didn't think you heard me, and I said, "Wow, you just repeated what I just finished saying."
Yeah, what had you said?
Oh, it was that was pretty good.
Right, right, right. San Antonio, yes. You're Alexander. Is it E-R? I don't see the E-R.
Yeah, Alexander Garcia and Rebecca Mazuka. Yeah.
Rebecca? Oh, Rebecca Mazuka. I know Rebecca. She had a session with 9 years ago.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she's been following y'all ever since.
Yeah, keeping, what is it, low profile, no contact, hiding, lurking, watching.
Yes.
Just in case we were frauds. Don't get too involved. We could be a fucking hoax.
Yeah, we've been very excited with the RNA drops, and also we sell Carolyn's Remag at our store. We have an alkaline water store, and we advocate that Remag all day long.
Awesome. And maybe you want to get on there, Carolyn, and thank your lucky stars for someone selling this stuff.
Yeah, thank goodness. I know I priced the Remag so low, the wholesalers, most of the ones who just want to make money off products, they don't like it because there's not enough of a margin for them. So I appreciate you diving in there. But what about the Relight, Alex? Are you going to take that on as well? Because that's got all the minerals.
Yes, we also take the Relight too. Well, we take it ourselves. We haven't sold that on the store.
Yeah.
Lot of our friends, are taking the RNA drops.
Oh, cool! That's fantastic. Very good.
Okay, Karen, do we have our guest?
Hi, it's Ann Violet.
Hey, welcome, Ann. This is Carolyn.
Hi. So nice to meet you both on air.
Yes, and this is Carolyn.
No, it's not.
I am Carolyn.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, Bob is in me.
I am in her.
Oh. Well, that's what happens when you're married for a long time.
Oh, no, we just been married for 4 decades. We're just beginning.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Here's our theme song.
Cute.
Isn't that good?
Well, I have been in you, baby. You have been in me. And it sure was fine. I have been in you, baby. You have been in me. And so you see, we have been so together. I thought that we would never return from forever.
Isn't that beautiful? Wow.
That is so sweet. Oh.
You know who
that's
that
nice
is?
To see.
Yes,
you know, it sounds like Frank Sinatra, but I can't be certain.
You are bloody schizophrenic. It's not Frank Sinatra, it's Frank Zappa.
Oh, of course. Well, I should have just said Frank, and I would have been frankly half correct.
Yes, frankly, you would have been half correct.
Perfect.
So you specialize in stand-up comedy, a well-known and respected author, writer, and entrepreneur, and did you do Matthew's book?
I did. I wrote Matthew's book.
Wow.
And, you know, my specialties, I think, would go in the other order, but, you know, the stand-up comedy was something I've, yes, the entrepreneur comes first.
Yeah.
And probably then the writing, and then the stand-up comedy was something I just got into recently, and it was just by happenstance, but it was a lot of fun.
And you performed in clubs?
No, it was for a group of ladies in Eagle Pass, Texas, when I went there recently. They asked me if I wanted to speak because I have a book called Men Are Like Wine. And I said, you know, I'm not really much of a speaker, but if these ladies like to laugh, I can do a little comedy thing. And they said, yes, absolutely. So that's kind of how it happened. And we thought it was going to be an Eagle Pass. I should say that we actually did cross the border and I went into Mexico. I hope I didn't lose you. Are you still there? Hello?
Hang on a minute. It looks like Bob's phone call dropped off.
Oh.
He'll be back in a minute.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I was almost ready to dial again.
Yeah, I'll check out and see what's going on, but they should be back shortly.
No problem.
Now we're disconnected.
Okay, I'll get off.
You're on now.
I'm here. Great.
Now, Bill, can you hear us?
Yeah, you're on the air now.
Yeah, what happened? We were here listening. We weren't disconnected.
You weren't on the board and nothing came through.
Yeah, well, that's the weirdness because, you know, we heard every word you were saying. You were saying we were disconnected, but we were right here, but you couldn't hear us.
We heard Ann, and then we heard you, Bill. Cool.
Okay, so back to what?
Anomalies abound.
It's when I said the name Rush Limbaugh. Are you in the same area as Rush Limbaugh?
I don't really keep up with him much. To be honest with you, I'm so busy, but I'm in South Florida in beautiful Delray Beach, and it's about a half an hour south of West Palm Beach and about a half an hour north of Fort Lauderdale, so it's kind of like a perfect little area next to Boca Raton, Florida.
Right. So is West Palm Beach the wealthy area? That's where Rush Limbaugh is.
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. Yeah, so that's where you're near there. Now,
there's Donald Trump and Oprah and all those guys, yeah.
Right. You've got some breeze happening over your phone, right?
A little bit. I'm actually down, actually near the beach right now. So I'm trying to find a spot where it's not too windy. But usually when I do something like a radio show or whatnot, I love to be down by the beach because that's the fastest path to my joy.
Okay. Yeah. There's the dogma. And we have Jade from Maui is on here, and she says, "Hi, Bob and Ann, Bob, Carol, and Ann." Oh yeah, I think you know Jade. Jade here in Maui.
I do. Yes, I do. Hi, Jade.
Yeah. She says, fabulous show. I assume she's been listening to more than the last 5 minutes. And good to hear you live, she says. Now.
Oh, great.
Now, are we interviewing you? Are you interviewing us? Do you want to find out about us? Are we supposed to find out about you? We have no idea why you're here. We don't know what you know.
Well, maybe we can do a little bit of both, but Matthew mentioned, you know, I had been saying it would be so nice to meet you both, and, you know, since I just wrote this book and made characters and stuff, so I said, absolutely.
We're the characters. Oh, yeah.
You're the characters. You're Biggs and Babs.
Right. Biggs and Babs. So, what did you think of the story? What is it? Did it get you on the drops?
You know, I've been taking the drops, and I have to say that, you know, the whole experience with the drops is yet to be determined, but I find that good things are happening, so maybe it is connected with the drops, because I have been meeting, you know, a lot of great new friends, and, you know, good things have been happening with my career and things like that, so I have to say that there must be some connection to that.
Okay, so in writing this story, what is the essential question or mystery about us that you wonder about?
Well, I, you know, when I first started writing it, he had mentioned, you know, and spoken very highly of both of you, and Matthew was, you know, in a place where he was, you know, kind of listening as far as wanting to achieve financial success, and then obviously he's done that and then some. So I think that what I wanted to know, I guess, and what I inquired about was, you know, how you guys got to be Bigs and Babs, you know, where how did you guys get to be on the radio, and how did you find your path, and what is it that you would like to do with Matthew's next book? He's actually having a trilogy now, so I have a chance to develop your characters even further in your second book. So I don't know if you've had a chance to read book number one yet, but book number two is going to be exciting, because that's the book where Matthew starts getting to know you two personally.
Ah, okay. Well, I work in intelligence, and I tended to form my own claque of geniuses. I found out who were the geniuses of our time and got to hang out with them, and then that made me smarter. And Carolyn, I looked at public knowledge forms of genius, whereas Carolyn went and studied medical geniuses. So we both specialized.
Oh, okay.
We both specialized in geniuses, and then we turned out to end up knowing more than anybody, because we learned so much. Each individual genius we studied only knew their field, but then we knew their field, and the next genius field, the next genius. So it piled up that we became the most knowledgeable generalists in the world. And then heaven decided to collapse, and so heaven said, well, we'll hang out with Bob and Carolyn. So heaven came to us in the form of Ion.
Oh, awesome. That's so cool. And I know Matthew said he hasn't actually met him in person, but in the book, I thought it was fun to develop him as a character rather than having him on the radio. So have you ever met him in person?
No, I've never met Matthew. Carolyn has.
Okay. And what about...
Did you say you haven't met Matthew?
I haven't actually met him in person, no, but I, you know, obviously I've met him many times over the phone and
yes.
We email and things like that, but I'm actually working on getting him like a book launch party going down here, because there's a whole new age crowd in this area, so it's a great area for people who are looking for and seeking, you know, understanding how the universe works and how they can manifest abundance and manifest good things in their life. And there's a whole energy and a lot of people that I've come across that are into that. So I think it'd be a great place for him to have a book launch party.
Yeah. Well, what we were talking on our, you know, I'm on a 5-day fast, or not a fast, non-sleeping, a 5-day of not sleeping and just...
Yeah, it's a sleep fast.
Oh, yeah, sleep
wow.
fast.
Wow.
Right, yeah. And we were talking about some part of our history to listeners a couple hours ago, and our story is so fascinating, what happened, that it's almost unbelievable. So,
yes, let me hear more about that.
Well, actually, Anne could re-listen to that whole thing, because it goes on for a couple of hours.
Yeah, if you get a chance, once the archives are up, if you get a chance, go back and listen to, this would be the second day.
Okay.
Started at 4 or so, 8, so maybe 14 hours into it is about
wow.
when we start talking about it, I think. And I don't want to go into it, but what do we say? Well, we're in charge in the world. We have the new knowledge, the new experience, the new data, and the new access to heaven. So that puts us in a special powerful position.
Definitely.
And I like to do it irresponsibly. I like to be a fucking idiot while doing it. And Carolyn tries to maintain.
Carolyn and she's more serious?
Yes.
Is Carolyn the more serious one?
Well, yeah. No, she's actually a sillier person. She's not as smart as me, but she is determined to look respectable because she has to deal with actual physical problems, you know, medical problems. I don't. I can just pretend it's all metaphysical. I'm an expert in metaphysical promiscuity. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah, I'm afraid with my professional titles, if I say something like eat sewage, people will take that as a prescription and then blame me when they die.
That's right.
That's what the world has come to these days. Everybody's looking for a lawsuit. I finished writing web content for, an ambulance chaser type of attorney there. So I do web content and whatnot, too, and sometimes I have projects that wouldn't necessarily be those that I would seek, but I welcome all projects. And I'm very excited to do Jade's website soon.
Yes. Now, what makes you a writer? You got training in that, or you just naturally know how to do it?
Well, here's the funny thing. I didn't actually go to school for being a writer, just because I thought writers don't make much. But when I was a kid, it was just a natural gift, and you know, I used to enter awards and win little awards and stuff like that through the Young Authors Institute, and I've always done writing just for fun. And in my early career, I worked at an advertising agency, and I was fortunate that I was able to do writing, but I was also doing graphic design and other things, so I did some writing on the side for people, and that's not what I majored in college, but when I moved to Florida, I found the market for what I was doing was kind of not working out for me, so I thought, well, I'll just do some extra writing projects because that's always been a great little freelance sideline thing for me, and then it blew up, and ever since then, I've been writing full-time. So I'm on my 20th book now.
Right, but are you going to write a novel or something that's not assigned with someone else?
I have, actually. I do have one of my own, and it's the one I mentioned, Men Are Like Wine.
Right.
It's a humor book, and instead of a table of contents, I have a menu. So you can choose your favorite wine. You don't even have to read the book in order. You can just go to whichever chapter or whichever wine or whichever personality you like and read about that, and men love it just as much as women. I originally thought mostly the market would be women, but men always want to know what kind of wine they are, and you
right.
have everything from the fling and the friend with benefits, and you have the sugar daddy and Mr. Right and Mr. Nice Guy and everything, so,
so
it's a fun book.
Yeah, when you hear our interview or our talking about our life, you'll find it's the most incredible story of the last 100 years, and it'll give you all you have to do is write our story, literally what happened, and just have the name Biggs and whatever the other name is, and just change the names, but it would be so, the story is so awesome, no one will believe it, so they'll think it's fiction or whatever Matthew wants it to be. So you don't have to do much. I don't know. Is Matthew? Does he want it to be accurate? His story?
No, he's been very great about making it so that we could be creative with it. So that's why I had made Ion an actual, like a supernatural power, and he whisks him away on some adventures with him, and takes him on Lamborghini rides and roller coasters and things like that. Because I thought that would be more fun, and so yeah. He's totally been a great co-author, because he just kind of, you know, tells me the story and lets me just be creative with it, and whatever comes out, you know, turns out great. So by not, you know, standing over my shoulder and telling me each word, you know, it's coming out great. And he's one of my hugest success stories so far. The book hardly even hit the street, and he's already, like, sold out of his first batch.
Really?
So, yeah, he's doing awesome with it, but he's a great marketer, so he has a great platform for it and everything.
Well, we're doing great by, because we get 50% of it.
Awesome.
Yeah. My book is doing great, Carolyn. My book is doing well. I'm the Andy Warhol of books.
I hope he knows that.
What?
I said, that's awesome. I hope he knows that.
Oh, he knows that. I'm the Andy Warhol of literature. I get other people to write my books and market them and even be the front man for them.
Oh, great. Well, if you ever need a ghostwriter, I know one.
Well, you should write our story or put our real story in there, in Matthew. It will go along with the fiction because it's so phenomenal, no one will believe it. It's actually true. But,
and I would love to put it in there, so let's do that. Because
right,
I think
so you will hear
the characters in the story of Matthew's story.
Right, so when you hear the discussion over several hours, a few hours ago, when they're already up on the website, those hours. As soon as we finish our talk and you don't stay on and keep participating and you want to check it out and you got time, you'll be able to go listen to it and it'll give you some basic details and then maybe you could ask us questions or something and fill it out. But the basic story has been said a few hours ago. So we actually were preparing for you. We didn't know it. Yeah.
Great. I will definitely listen to those because I can see devoting, a few chapters to those characters' development and whatnot in this next book. Because, what happened was we were writing his first book, and it was getting, so big that I said, I don't know how I'm going to edit all of this. I haven't even gotten into, the business side of it and how he turned, from where he was then to what he's doing now. And so he said, well, let's just do a trilogy. And I said, oh, that's great. Let's do it.
Yeah, and that's a very, very wise move. And that's interesting. People are attracted by the cover and buying his book?
And he's also done a great job at marketing it as like a package with his RNA drops, so it's a phenomenal deal for people. I couldn't even believe the price he put on his website. It's misfitmillions.com, and he's got such a great deal for if somebody buys the books, they get a trial-sized drop of the RNA drops, so they get a bottle of that as well, so that's like a steal.
That's
good. Normally if they were just going to have a bottle of RNA drops, they would, I'm not sure exactly the price, but I think it was like $20 or $25, but he has like a whole package there for them. So he's already like pushed them all out the door and needing bigger orders. So I'm excited that he's doing so well with it just right off the starting gate.
Yeah, it's a good idea, marketing the drops with it. And it's sort of like food for the stomach and food for the mind. He's doing
exactly
both.
Yeah, and the story's fun and it's got a lot of crime and sex scenes. As we know, Matthew has a really fun story himself, and he did some really great fun things when he was younger, and so he was a male stripper and whatnot, so he said, I'm not gonna hide anything, and he put it all in there. So people love to read about that kind of stuff, just like they like to watch things like that on TV, especially if it's reality. Reality shows are so popular, and so it's got a little bit of everything. It will make you laugh and make you cry and make you horny.
Right, and you wrote it. You're the one who writes the horny stuff.
I know, and what's funny, though? Well, he did give me the stories, but I don't usually get to write stuff like that too often. I get to write a lot of business books or autobiographies, and some of them are very deep topics. I just did a book last year for these very sweet Cambodian ladies who survived the killing field, so that was a totally different subject matter, but that's what makes my job so fun, is I get to hear so many different stories, and I just love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So let's go to another topic. Anything you want to discuss that's on your mind about today that has nothing to do with the three of us?
Oh, well, one of the questions I always had that I was curious about when Matthew was first telling me about you two was, you know, I was like, how they live so long, and you guys have such a wonderful, joyous life, and, you know, I thought that would be very inspirational for people to hear because there's so much negativity.
Well, we both have sunny dispositions.
What's the secret?
Well, we both have sunny dispositions. We're considerate with people, so we always keep in a good mood. You know, if you start being mean and that, you start getting in a bad mood and you get off balance, and then it snowballs into bad feelings. So if you always keep it relatively good feelings, and you can't be wimpy nice, you have to be witty and crude and unpredictable. And that's why I hung out with geniuses, to find new ways to talk. And so you make yourself interesting by the way you talk. And that's the
secret
to life. You keep thinking, talking, and acting unpredictable and maintaining some kind of fake morality.
Right. Well, you know, laughing.
And laughing.
Yeah.
Well, no. I prefer not to laugh, but there's a lot of funny things going on around me, so I can't stop.
That's true. Well, you know, there's a lot of people out here who have a lot of different life circumstances that they feel like they... You know, they're just at the end of their rope, and, you know, even, like, sometimes it's easier to laugh and have a great time when you're not in your regular environment even. So sometimes it can be a little challenging that way for people as well. So just to maintain that energy is sometimes difficult, not just for me, but for just a lot of people, you know.
Oh, yeah. People are average. They are stupid. They're not paying attention. They're too worried. They got fooled by their conditioning early, and they got cowardly, and they fucked up, and they got cancer, and they're dying, and it's all their fault. And I avoid those people, which is most people. I actually have I've always just had one or two friends, you know, through all these decades. They changed, the two friends, but I live on a very small scale. I'm not trying to create an audience that I have to serve.
Right. That's good. And then, now how did the RNA drops come to be? Maybe you can tell me a little bit about that, since that will be going in this book as well that I'm writing for Matthew.
Well, we can take it back to World War II. Or we can begin in 1953 or 1967. There's everything is intertwined, and there was no beginning and no end, actually, but that gets vague. So the we met a guy in the late 60s, Jodun Sloan, who made the D-cell, which was an odd little invention that slowed down people's aging. So that happened to us. And then we met a really good medium called the Evergreens, or a guy, Michael Blake Reed, on the Evergreens. We did them for many years. Then we bumped into Ion, and Ion. We asked Ion, could we make the D cell? And Ion said, no, it's not the way it could be. So Ion gave us and Ion is the heaven that's sabotaged itself and committed suicide and showing up trying to hang out with the physical, and it told us how to make the D cell better, and that led to the RNA drops. So that's the real brief version. So we lucked out, and the new source gave us the drops. We were given it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, and so you decided that Matthew was the best conduit for it.
Ion decided. We got on the radio in October, on Achieve Radio on October 21st, 2009. We'd been on a few scattered shows. I think Matthew, he was listening to Achieve Radio. He heard us, let's say, October 21st, October 28th. And first week in November, I was re-listening to some old private sessions, and Ion says to me, Did you get back to that guy who wants to have a session? And this would be the first one coming out of the radio show. And I said, well, he seems to be fucking incompetent. He's got no email. The fucking phone doesn't work, and I can't get to him. And It was pretty stupid. And I don't know how we connected. Maybe he finally did get an email.
We didn't know he was homeless.
Yeah.
He didn't have a phone.
Oh, I know. His story is incredible.
Right. So we finally connected. And what's interesting, Ion said, Bob, make sure you get this guy in here. And I thought that Ion was just so keen on having a new customer that wasn't your friend. That wasn't my friend. And he was sick of my friends. So so Matthew finally connected and had a session. I can look up the date. I think it was like November 4th. And it was a ridiculous,
yes.
What a wimpy, fucking, desperate idiot this guy was. But I kept my mouth shut.
I actually transcribed all of his sessions, so I've heard every one.
Okay, so you've heard me yelling and mocking him.
I've heard everything.
Right, so he was ridiculous for like 6 months. And then he forced himself, he forced himself to get a job, and he's moping around being a janitor at a health food store. And then the guy who's his boss doesn't want to be running the store, so Matthew says, well, I'll manage it. So Matthew gets the gig for managing it, and then he goes to his chip body and starts marketing it on the Internet and bypasses the whole managerial responsibilities, and that takes off. And then Ion seems to recognize Matthew's ability, and he quite early told me and Carolyn, this is the guy who's going to distribute the drops. And we're thinking, you're fucking idiot, Matthew. You know, Ion, this is you don't know nothing about our world. You back off, Ion. I'll make the fucking decision. But I turned out to be an incompetent too, so I had to back off, and we let Ion take over, and Matthew got the job. And he was lucky. He should take no credit. If you team up with us, and especially me, you will be a success, because I'm the master of Slack. So I'm the reason he got happy, because he hooked up with me, and he doesn't even know how it was so successful. He made some bullshit story. That's why he has to lie about his fiction, because he actually didn't do anything.
Yeah, he's actually a really one of the coolest guys that I've written a book for, because a lot of people that I write a book for like to have a real hand in it, you know. So,
well, he's incompetent.
And even how he chose me, it was amazing.
And he doesn't know anything. He's letting you run it because he doesn't know what to say. Now, all he did, he was a nothing, and he learned my jokes, my lines, and Ion's lines, and maybe a few things from Carolyn. He is a total replay of me. He's poor copy of me.
He took all kinds of business courses and sessions and blah, blah, blah. And when Ion came along, he was able to put it in the Ion context and totally kind of do a 180 on what he'd learned. Like, he'd learn stuff, but he'd do the opposite under Ion's
direction. Ion told him to do the opposite.
Ion told him to do the opposite.
And I encouraged it. I came up with the great ideas and supplementing Ion. Matthew couldn't believe these two maniacs giving him absurd business advice, but the one thing Matthew did...
Like putting a sign up on the door that says, don't buy this shit.
Yeah, don't buy this shit.
That's right.
The one talent Matthew had was he knew how to go on the Internet and find a niche. Yeah, and just market. That's what he did. He found a niche on something of the product, the angle, and then all the stupid jocks, they're looking for new products, they went for it. And he just started bringing them in. And he didn't even have the drops for a while. What was he selling? He was just
sports products.
Right. And then then the drops show up, and he starts marketing them a few months later. And he already had gotten an audience for the other products, and then the drops came in, and then they took off, and then the Ionettes heard about it, and he didn't have to do anything.
Oh, come on.
As long as I kept showing up on James Martinez's fucking
show. You can hear how it goes, right,
yeah.
Ann?
You're writing about me. That's why we're going to dominate. The second book, we're going to dominate, because that's the real story. So as long as I showed up, on Castro once a week and hammed it up with Ion. We got charisma. People started listening. People wanted to know to be as happy and healthy as me. And Carolyn wasn't saying nothing. She was scared shitless on the show. She thought she'd lose her medical license or something.
Which I didn't even have.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, well, my California
license. California license. And so I carried the ball for 6 months. I denied that I did the drops. I said I don't know nothing about them. And then people say, are you using them? Yes, I'm using them, even though I don't know where they came from. So it was total confusion for the first 6 months into 2011.
That's true, actually. And it wasn't until June of this year that I began speaking publicly about the RNA drops. And I had a total biology reaction where I got a huge sore throat because I was finally speaking out the stuff that I'd been choking back all these years.
Wow.
So I carried the ball for a year, and I had to put up with megalomaniac Ion, who was fucking schizophrenic about the whole project. One minute he said, this is the most important thing. Next day he's on to something else. He didn't care about the drops.
He'll say to us, this will happen with you or without you.
He kept trying to tell me that it was going to happen with or without me, but he couldn't do nothing unless I was there to milk his tits, you know, milk his fucking channeling.
I think the underlying message here, though, that people just don't realize, but they, you know, I'm hoping that this will be the message that they are delivered through Matthew's book, is that it really doesn't matter what you've done in life, because
It does. No. It does matter. That's how we got
paid attention
to what we were doing.
She's not saying about us. She's saying people could just take the drops, no matter what they've done, and they'll get
results. Is that what you're saying? You're talking about the drops?
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, if you were given a talent or something, you know, even as far back as childhood or a passion in life, if you follow your passion or you follow the things you need to do, like Matthew calling in the radio station even and being good at marketing, he is very good at marketing. And so,
that's bullshit.
You know.
Fucking bullshit. You do not follow your fucking path. You remain humble. You observe. You watch people. You be polite. You sneak off at night and read the dangerous books and watch the dangerous music and hang out with Frank Zappa or someone similar like Dave Neufeld. You do not go around fucking spreading your fucking confidence and claiming you're in your power. You will get nowhere that way. You must use T.S. Eliot's method of silence, exile, and cunning.
Okay.
See, the second volume is going to be very different from the crap you're saying in the first volume.
Well, what was Ion telling Matthew to do all the time about taking his power and declaring that money flows freely and easily to me? He made Matthew into a big mouthpiece.
With my help.
With your help.
With my fucking help. You don't know. Did he tell you that he called me every other day and I had to fucking talk him down from all his anxiety attacks? Did he tell you that?
No, he didn't. He didn't mention that.
Yeah,
but,
he didn't tell you the truth. I had to life coach him. I had to life coach him for a damn year. It interrupted a lot of my fucking spare time.
He's probably shaking his head back and forth.
Bob's totally exaggerating. But actually, in a sense, yeah, Matthew had a lot of sessions with Ion, and before and after every session, Bob would be talking down Matthew.
Yeah, I would impress him with my actual real knowledge that he had no clue about. I actually had fucking knowledge in the world. I mean, this weekend, I was involved with the Kennedy assassination, you know? Look, I have worldly experience. And someone like Matthew out there in the prairies and the farm girls has no understanding of the life that I lived. So
everybody, we can't really choose until we get to be a little later in life where our parents stick us or where we're raised and whatnot, but, you know, I think he likes it out there on the farm, and it looks pretty nice.
Why do you think he's marketing? He's making books. He's doing his damnedest to get fucking millions of dollars so he can leave his wife and family and become a rock star. He's the most greedy fucking selfish guy I've ever met. He's not hanging around very long. If one of these things hit the big time, he's out of there. Matthew's going on the road.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I should put that in book three.
Yes.
We'll wait until the Yeah. We'll put that on the third book. But.
Are you trying to use reverse psychology on Matthew, Bob?
I who knows? I'm channeling.
Yeah.
I'm just channeling. What, I'm just going, following my bliss.
Again, he's probably sitting there listening, shaking his head back and forth,
yeah.
Like, oh, God.
No,
why did I have Ann call?
No. No, Matthew has a good sense of humor. He's laughing his head off. He thinks he Yeah, he thinks I'm just joking, and he's enjoying it as a joke. But I'm always telling the truth to Matthew, but he doesn't get it. He just laughs at anything I say.
He's actually been, you know, very helpful as far as when I started writing his book, there was a lot of these things that I wasn't aware of, and then when I started listening to the sessions with the Ion, I was, like, nodding my head, like, wow, that makes perfect sense. I wonder why nobody knows this. And, you know, like, finding the fastest path to your joy and things like that, a lot of people just don't do that because they just, you know, they just continue on with whatever they think they have to do or that they must do and punching their time clocks and collecting their pensions and, you know, and going through life and, you know.
And dying.
Just,
No, you've had
so
a very healthy experience. You, Matthew's had like 52 sessions, and you got 50 hours of good Ion stuff. Ion's great to listen to. You actually got a whole education, luckily, for free.
I did, and so that was the other reason why I just love being a writer. I don't ever have to go to college again in my entire life. I can just learn everything I need to know, you know, with the
by
touch
the
of
circumstances.
A few buttons and the mouse.
You can't even finish your fucking sentence. I'll tell you what you're trying to say. You will learn from the circumstances that enter into your life through the business of writing for people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had something interesting happen to me while I was writing Matthew's book. I had this horrible thing happen, but it turned out to be a blessing. We were renting this place, and I slammed all of my fingers in the garage door one night at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was going to pick some stuff up for my son. He wasn't feeling well, and I slammed all of my fingers in the door because they don't have a garage door opener here. And I managed to lift the whole metal door. You know, it was excruciatingly painful. I was screaming and everything, and nobody could hear me because it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And
wow.
I was miraculously able to still type the next day, and I didn't break all of my fingers. I mean, that's like my whole career depends on my fingers. But I just kept saying over and over again, you know, thank you for saving my fingers. And I obviously had angels helping me lift the door with no fingers. And,
and
I had
some
bruising.
Were you on the drops?
No, I wasn't at the time, but not long after that was when he sent me a bottle of it.
Well,
he thought,
here's the thing. Yeah, you were listening to this Matthew sessions, right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, now Ion's very intense. It's very blissful, but it will bring contrast. I would say that your listening to Ion caused that. You sabotage, you know, the intensity of Ion. You're getting so blissed out that you said, I gotta have some, you know, negativity or some contrast. So you bashed your fingers as a balancer to the ecstasy you were being put into by Ion.
Apparently, but of all things that could have been, my fingers are like my gold ticket to, you know, my career. So I was so thankful that my fingers were salvaged and not broken, and I was still able to work the next day even. So what a blessing.
Well, yeah, you were lucky. You attempted to commit economic suicide, but in the course of it, you held back and it didn't totally cut your fingers off. So you boarded it halfway through the slam down of the door.
Well, for a while, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was standing there like an idiot, just screaming, help, help, you know, nobody could hear me, of course. And then I thought, well, I've got to get myself out of this mess. What am I going to do? So I used my hips and my shoulders to lift this great big garage door with, like, no fingers. And so it was amazing after I thought about it, and I still actually even went to the store, and my fingers were numb, and when I got home, Jason iced them for me, and the next morning, they were still a little bit numb, but I was able to bend them at the joints, and everything was fine, so I went back to work.
Wow, so you didn't have blood, you didn't break your skin?
No, it didn't break the skin. It just, they were all stuck there for a while, and like I say, I was standing there like an idiot trying to figure out how to get myself out of that mess, and screaming didn't work, and so finally I was like, well, I can't stand there all night, you know, standing here in the middle of the dark in the street, and I thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room, but I hate hospitals, so I do anything I can to avoid going, and I just continued on, so.
And were you on the RNA drops at the time?
No, it wasn't. I was listening to the sessions, but it wasn't long after that that Matthew sent me a bottle of the RNA drops, and so I think they taste a little bit like, they taste kind of like oranges.
Ah, wow.
Yes, that's for you. That's the taste for you.
Everybody tastes something different.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, it's your own being that determines the taste. So they didn't break, and you would. So you didn't put ice on them or anything?
I did when I got home. Well, Jason did for me. So he saw me, like, you know, I was crying a little bit on the couch, and I explained to him what happened, and he was like, "Oh my God!" So he went and got some ice and put them on my hands, and I sat there for 20 minutes or so and put ice on them, but. You know, we have three toddlers, so, you know, when you say you've gone 5 days without sleep, I feel like I've gone, like, 3 years without sleep.
Right.
So,
you know, I think you're a crybaby. I think you actually didn't hit them very hard, but you just started screaming out of trauma. There's no explanation that you could type the next day. So I think you hardly hurt yourself at all, but you're a wimp. You're a woman. You know, women are weak.
I very rarely cry, actually. I have, like, a little bit of tomboy in me, but that did cause me a little bit of pain. So, you know, and the black finally just went away, and this happened, like, 4 months ago, but my fingertips were all black for quite a while, so, you know, people were always asking me what happened and stuff.
Yeah, so you had black fingernails typing the whole time doing Matthew's book.
Yes.
Ooh. Well,
I know. So.
As Ian should say, or somebody says, that should tell you something. I don't know what it tells you, but that should tell you something.
Didn't tell me anything except that I was very lucky to have my fingers to still be able to type Matthew's book.
Well,
so it told me that I need to be more careful when I close the garage door. And it says, you know, I have to be very careful with my fingers that I don't do anything to harm them. I was playing football on the beach one day, and I bent my pinky all the way back, and the lifeguard straightened it out for me. So
okay, we're going to give you an x-ray. What's that in total biology, Carolyn?
Yeah, and total biology, which is the conflict basis of disease, like what conflict will allow your body to create a disease in order to try to solve the conflict. Well, fingers are execution of the work and action. So fingers are about your work. And let's see what else. So it's about work.
And for my particular job, especially.
Yeah, totally. So it was focusing on what you do for your work, and it may be related to writing this book with Matthew specifically. No, it's just execution of work and action.
Well, do you have trouble doing your work every day, getting motivated?
Do I have trouble getting motivated? No, I love it. I can't wait to leave the house and not listen to whining and crying anymore. Right. And I just run to work every day to get some peace and quiet. I mean, obviously I love my children, but the whining and crying, you know, when they're all little toddlers. I have twins that just turned two, and I have a 3.5-year-old, and they're all boys, so they're always all climbing the walls and lots of whining and you know, slapping and sword fighting and things like that. So, so it is actually peaceful for me to go to work.
Oh, that's a good reason why we've been happy all these years. We didn't have any kids. That's probably a major factor.
That's true. I can see that. Sometimes, well, back in the day, I was, you know, kind of one of those girls, I guess, that was independent, and I said I was never having any children, and I just wanted to live Footloose and Fancy Free and clickety-clack through life in my high heels. And then one day, things changed, and so now that's a little different. I wear flip-flops instead of high heels, but yeah.
Well,
someday I have three little workers, so.
Yeah, what was the change?
Well, I'm not sure if I should say it on the air, but you got to look out for those guys that have, you know, big dicks and
oh. Yeah.
So I ended up not, my birth control failed, and so I had three little kids, and obviously they were meant to be. They're, you know, great little boys, and they all have meaningful names, and they're going to be great people in life now that, you know, I can teach them some of the things I've learned this last few years.
Just give them the drops. Forget teaching them. Don't teach them anything. Just give them the drops. That's what does it.
Well, I like to do things with them, like encourage them to be, you know, leaders and not bullies and followers. I like to, you know, sometimes we do little things like I'll have my oldest one look in the mirror and he'll say, I am a great leader. And I am a handsome, smart boy, you know. And stuff like that, those little self-esteem things, you know.
Right, but you got, you know, modern mothers, every mother is telling their kids there's going to be no followers, just everybody's going to be a leader. This is creating a mass delusion. Someone's got to follow. And not everybody can be a manager.
99% are following Bob.
You know, I think it's spread so much with your intelligent generation that you take a different tack. You start having them be humble and follow, and it'll make them different. Because I tell you, every mother is telling their kid in your suburb what you just said you do.
Well, the older one has a natural knack for it anyway without me even telling him anything. So the oldest one, Avery, means leader. It's like an old Anglo-Saxon name. It means one who leads with elf wisdom. And his brother is more of a follower, the little one. And they follow him everywhere and they look up to him. So, you know, that's usually the way it is in probably most families that have siblings.
Right, so you're going to have to tell the older one to stand back, stand down, let the little guy run the show for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You've got your own successful first son that's sabotaging the rest of your program.
Well, the littlest one, he seems to have some leadership skills too. The middle one just kind of marches to his own beat. He just goes off and runs away and does his own thing. He's very independent and doesn't, you know, he'll play with the other two, but he kind of just, like, marches to his own beat.
Even though he's sort of following, that's his cover-up.
Right, pretty much.
He'll
follow them for a ways, and then he'll something else will catch his eye, and he'll turn around, and he's gone. So.
Yeah, twins are neat. It's fun to watch them. We have foster twins. Foster twins? Is that what you would say? We have a boy and girl twin who are foster kids.
Oh, so you do have children in a way.
Yeah. We did it without the diaper years.
We got them when they were 16.
Oh, wow. Jeez. You missed all the best part, you know.
No. We got the high school trauma, the high school pregnancies, the whole collapse of morality that a teenager goes through.
Well, no pregnancies with them, but their friends.
No, that you didn't. We didn't tell you about some of them.
Oh wow!
That's the way
the world is now. They watch these shows from a very young age, and then you know they want to be 20 by the time they're 10. So. Yeah.
Right. They're growing, four bodies, a TV body, chip body, and the astral body, and the chemical body, and they think that they're going to translate their TV imagery into their chemical body, so they get all confused, and they don't know they're actually living more in the TV image and the chip body, and they're not given proper education on those issues. So if you don't tell your kids about the four bodies before the 15, you know, you're looking at disaster. They got to know Bob knowledge. They have to know the Bob knowledge.
Well, I'll just have them read the trilogy.
Yes. Does he talk about the bodies in the trilogy?
He's going to, but I think we're going to wait until either towards the latter part of book two or, you know, maybe the beginning of book three until people are ready for it. Good. Right now we're just getting into the parallel universe stuff, so sometimes that's a little over people's heads, including mine, until I, you know, do some further studying and understanding of it. Maybe that's something that you could help me with, and to have you on the phone.
Right, right. No, that's important. I guess that's Matthew using my material to, you know, puff out the message of the book. So that's okay. But Carolyn, do you want to say something?
Yeah.
To another range.
Yeah, we only have a couple more minutes with Ann before Sheila comes on.
Oh, is it all scheduled strictly?
Yeah.
Do you have other things to do, Ann?
No, I'm
why don't
all
you
yours.
Stay on? Why don't you stay on if you don't have to go and listen to Sheila? She's a very interesting artist, and you could maybe we can bring out other aspects of yourself and personality just as you listen and respond to Sheila.
Sheila is the one who did the Ascension painting and then the Labyrinth painting.
Oh,
do you know about
awesome.
Them?
Yeah, I actually, you know, I went through a lot of, not just today, but, you know, like months ago, I was looking at your website several times and reading some of the speakers. And there was one gentleman who struck me, actually, on there, the guy that does the healing. His name escapes me at the moment.
There's no website. We don't have a website with other people on there. You're thinking of a
No, they have
website.
Just their bios and whatnot on your website.
Well, who are these people?
For the radio show, do you mean for the marathon?
No, not for the marathon. It was for the general, the lineup of hosts that you commonly have.
No. That must be Achieve Radio. Listen, they are nothing to do with us. We don't line up anybody.
Okay.
We only have ourselves on the website. There's nobody. I think you're talking about Achieve Radio where all the hosts
yes.
are. Matthew's one of the hosts.
Yes.
Yeah. No, those people.
Okay.
Forget that. Those people. They're useless. You want to maybe read Carolyn's biography or what are we doing? You're reading this biography, and that's how you found out about Sheila?
No, I actually am not familiar with Sheila.
Well, why did you go off on talking about all these other people? What prompted
well,
that?
Well, I'm not sure. I just I was trying to remember if I knew who she was. I think so. I was just
right.
speaking out loud.
All right, and then you got then you thought we were AchieveRadio.com. No, we're not that. We do not.
No, I just you know I saw you guys on there as well. So
right. Okay, so. I'm too tired to get up, so I'm just lying here. Someone want to go over and look at the computer and see if Bill's here? Bill, is Sheila here? Are you here, Sheila?
It is 3 minutes before the hour, so Sheila, you know, maybe she'll...
Look at the bottom. A new number would be at the bottom and be a 404-something number.
Okay... I don't know your panel. Let me see if I can find the caller. I just see the chat room. I don't.
No, not the green thing. You go to the web control panel.
Okay. I purposely didn't learn this board so Bob wouldn't make me do it.
Yeah, the your story has been so exhausting. I had to go lie down, and you do so
oh,
much.
Come on.
It's tiring.
How come everybody says that to me?
Well, that's because you're three kids and writing all these books and using your imagination is exhausting.
I know. Right. I've been doing it my whole life too. Go figure.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't notice. You don't notice the toil and sweat you're going through.
I know, and it's been so fun.
Oh, you don't even know. You think it's fun.
I get to hear all these stories and like, tell people stories. How fun is that? I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I have a lot of smart things to say about that, but I don't think I'll do it. I'll save it for next time.
If people want to pay me to write their stories, I'm all for it.
So how do the people know about you? By word of mouth or do you...
Largely by word of mouth, yes.
Hey,
I do have a website. It's called Awesome Writer, so...
Awesome Writer Singular? Yeah, Ginny, we got you in a second. Awesome
Writer
Singular.
Awesome Writer Singular, yeah.
Okay. So, Ginny, what's happening?
Sheila's on for you, love. I just wanted to let you know.
Okay, love. There's Sheila. Well, you owe me a conversation. I hope we can have a meaningful conversation, Sheila. It's been a long time.
It has. It's been very long, Bob. I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
I know. You've had a disastrous year. I know all about what happened to you guys. I hope you've recovered from it. But the...
Just about.
Okay, do you know about Matthew's book? Have you seen the picture of it or anything?
I've seen his pictures in Misfit to Millions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we have the writer of that book. Matthew can't write. He couldn't have done it. So we have Anne Violet on here. And we just interviewed her, and she's going to stay on and participate if it's possible. So,
hi, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?